I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. It is Friday, August the 5th. If you're listening to the podcast in audio form, which is the traditional method of podcast consumption, but because we're a multimedia company and because we're so god dang handsome, we're also on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. If you are watching live on YouTube, it is Thursday, August the 4th, and we are going to break down some of the news from Deshaun Watson, plus get to NFC South burning questions and call out our colleague Ryan Wilson for his latest chicanery. And joining me to do all of that, back from a lengthy vacation to parts unknown, John Breach. What's up, buddy?
Well, first of all, Brinson, I've been back for like a week. You've just been avoiding me. We're supposed to do a podcast together. You didn't show up. You guys didn't invite me on the Deshaun Watson podcast Monday. I get it. I can take a hint, man. But here we are, end of the week.
You've been back all week, really?
You can't avoid me anymore. Yeah, I didn't think it was too much vacation.
Where the hell's Breach for this emergency podcast? And I was like, I think he's still on vacation. I don't know.
But this isn't about me taking month-long vacations or you not inviting me on podcasts. It's about Wilson refusing to show up to get his tattoo.
No. It needs to be clarified. He's not refusing to show up. So
my bad.
Everyone who listens or watches this podcast knows that Ryan Wilson is supposed to have a tattoo. Supposed to get a tattoo because Ryan Finley and the Bengals on Monday night beat the Steelers like 2 years ago. Was this pre-pandemic? Was it during the 2020 season? May have been before the pandemic. Like that's how long he's been just waffling on this bet. Went through the entire 2021 season. Pathetic, really. Yeah, it was 2020 because Joe Burrow got hurt.
All right.
Ryan Finley was filling in for Joe Burrow after Brandon Allen.
Against the Steelers. So it was December 2020.
Yeah, December 2020. I mean, we're closing in on 2 years since it happened that he's welched on this bet. He's tried to pawn it off on Breach because Breach didn't get the artwork done. And then he tried to pawn it off on me. Like I didn't Venmo him enough money. I'll just pay you for the tattoo when you get the tattoo, like just get it done. I'll pay for it. Like I have to Venmo him ahead of time. He's been waffling like an outrageous.
Well, now there's no one left to pawn it off on.
Correct. And he's agreed to get the tattoo done in Nashville in 2 weeks when we go. But Breach and I have noticed some more subtle shenanigans from Wilson in order to avoid getting this tattoo. For instance, we are supposed to go there on Tuesday the 16th. We have stuff to do for work on Tuesday and Wednesday of that week, the 16th and the 17th. Hopefully, we'll be doing live shows from Nashville. We'll let y'all know based on the timing. Most people No, no, not everybody. Like, for instance, Chip Patterson is going to be there as well. I was texting with Chip today, and he's going to be there. Now, Chip is flying in early on Tuesday morning. He's leaving Raleigh early on Tuesday morning. Chip has a brand new kid. Like, he can't, and another young kid. He can't just leave for, you know, on a whim, right? Like, he's got to hang around the house. Wilson is completely unafraid to abandon his family for work-related activities, like, in excess. Like, he'll drive to Stamford, Connecticut, and spend an extra night during the season. But he has booked his flight breach for Tuesday instead of Monday. Why do you think that is? Because I have a theory.
Now, Brinson, you are flying in Monday night.
You live there.
I live here. So you could literally, even if there was no tattoo involved, you could fly in Monday just to come hang out with me because we don't get to see each other.
When are you flying in? I hope it's Monday.
That often.
Monday.
Monday. So all of us will be there Monday. And yet Ryan Wilson, he who is very paranoid about being late for things and would not want to arrive late for a work function because his flight was delayed and he's got to do a layover, is coming in Tuesday. Breach, my theory is that Wilson has booked flights as close to as humanly possible the beginning and the end of the work-related functions in order to then say, there's no time while we're in Nashville for him to get a tattoo and to continue to push this back like an absolute coward. Your thoughts?
I don't hate the theory. I don't hate it at all. It looks like it's going to be on me and you to pull Wilson out, because he gets in, I think, at 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Then you have to go straight to what we have to do for work. And so there is not a lot of leeway there. And he flies out Wednesday morning. So I guess really we're going to have to rope him in this Tuesday night, but we have a work function Tuesday night. So it's the timing's going to be dicey. But, you know, Brinson, me and you together with our powers combined, I think we can turn Wilson into Captain Planet, but with a tattoo of Ryan Finley.
Yeah, I think that we can find a way to squeeze it in. He's going to try and welch. We need to lock down a tattoo parlor close to the hotel and just tell him, like, dude, like, you're not getting out of this. Like, that's just how it's going to work. You need to pay, like, you lost the bet. I mean, you know, pay up. So if you want to help encourage Ryan Wilson to get that tattoo, at Ryan Wilson CBS is his Twitter handle. Tweet him and say, accuse him of scheduling his flights so that way he can avoid, just call him a coward. Call him, do whatever you need to do. At Ryan Wilson CBS, just harass him on Twitter. Even like two tweets will get Wilson in a weird headspace. He doesn't need much to like get him like, oh God. So just fire tweets his way. Everyone, as many tweets as you want, anybody who listens or watches, at Ryan Wilson CBS, and accuse him of welching on the bet, of trying to weasel his way out of it, knowing he probably won't see us again until maybe like the Super Bowl. So like, he knows he can get through an entire season and just catch grief from us. Being like, well, what are you going to do? I can't just go get the tattoo. Like, the artwork isn't right. You guys won't tell me what to do. No, go get to harass him. Anyway. The NFL, as we suggested on the emergency podcast, and as we suggested on yesterday's podcast with Sully, is appealing Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension in hilarious fashion. It's like the NFL is appealing the suspension, or appealing the punishment to the, it's like the NFL is appealing the NFL's ruling to the NFL so the NFL can make a different ruling. Roger Goodell is not going to hear the appeal. He's going to have a designee, which, like, do you think that the Roger Goodell's designee is going to do what Roger Goodell wants or not do what Roger Goodell wants? Because I'm guessing that this designee is not going to go rogue and just, like, not do what Goodell wants. The NFL is seeking an indefinite suspension of at least 1 year and a potential monetary fine. Breach, how do you see this playing out? I know you also may have written, I don't know if you wrote something about it or not, but you had somebody had a theory on the site that, or somebody reported that Watson turned down a settlement offer from the NFL already. And there's some more other like sort of timing theories about this as well, but the appeal is official. The NFL has announced it.
Yeah. So I think there are multiple layers to this. Yeah. I just shot off a story. We're recording this on Thursday that talked about the settlement offer that Deshaun Watson got from the NFL while they were negotiating that he basically shot down. And that was from, I think Dan Graziano from ESPN reported that on Monday. And it was the NFL said, hey, look, if you accept a 12-game suspension and an $8 million fine, sign off on that. This is done. We'll put it all behind us. We're good to go. Watson's camp said, thanks, but no thanks. We're not taking 12 games. We're not paying an $8 million fine. We'll see where this goes. And so Watson basically gambled and he lost because there's no way. Like you were just saying, Brinson, this is an appeal process where if the NFL is filing an appeal in a case where the NFL oversees the appeal process, you're getting more games added onto your suspension. There'd be no reason for the NFL to waste its own time. So when you're talking about he's at six games, where does this go next? Well, now that you're in this appeal process, they could try to work out another settlement before the appeals officer. And maybe the NFL goes back and says, hey, about that 12 games, you want to do it? Except instead of $8 million, we're going to find you $12 million. And maybe he's like, okay, well, I don't have a choice now because I could be suspended for a year. And one other interesting note I think I saw from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports is that the reason the NFL was so adamant about 12 games and the reason they were willing to trim, five games off that 1 year suspension is because the league apparently does not want Deshaun Watson playing in Houston against the Texans. And so that would be the 12th game of the 12-game suspension. That's why it's that number, not 10 or 14. So if he gets that 12-game suspension, then he comes back the week after the Browns would play the Texans. And so that would keep him out there. And then one other thing to keep in mind is that, you talk about precedent, and I think it was mentioned that Jameis Winston had the longest suspension for a non-violent sexual assault, which is, of course, is a ridiculous term, but that was at three games and he had one allegation, whereas Watson's facing four in terms of this appeal, because you can't consider all 24. You can only consider what Sue Robinson considered. And so four times three is gets you to 12, where it's hard to argue. You know, I think Wilson and you guys mentioned he's a first-time offender, but how can you call someone with 24 cases hanging over them a first-time offender? It's just, right. It doesn't make sense. And I think that's the NFL's problem, why they want to put more games on this. So I would say right now that I think 12 games is the minimum and that, you know, it might end up being that whole year. I think if it ends up being 12 games that Watson's camp does not challenge it, there's no federal lawsuit. But I think if it is the entire year or indefinite, then I think we see a lawsuit get filed.
All right. So a couple of things on this. One, that's really interesting that they don't want him playing in Houston, or allegedly don't want him playing in Houston. Is it just like they don't, like just the optics are terrible? I mean, is that just a simple?
That's what it feels like. There's no specifics, but I mean, you know, it makes sense on some levels.
Yeah, it makes sense. I also would guess that they probably don't. I mean, look, I mean, I'm not speaking for anybody at CBS, but that game is scheduled to be on CBS. And I would think that even though it's a 1 o'clock game and it's Cleveland at Houston and it might not be, it's not likely going to be Nance and Romo calling and Tracy Wilson calling the game. It is still probably like, you know, if you're doing the broadcast, like even if it was like Fox, I would say, you know, I'd say this for whoever it is. It's like the broadcast partner's probably like, look, I mean, we don't really want to have Deshaun Watson in Houston. Like there's going to be like, you're going to get protest. I mean, you're just going to get a lot can come into play. And so I would think both the NFL and, you know, CBS, the broadcast rights holder would not want Watson playing in that game, or would not want him active for that game, would not want him near that game. So that does make a lot of sense. Two, on the fine thing, just because I know people have been, even with my friend group text, the $8 million that they wanted to fine him and whatever they're going to fine him now, or they're going to attempt to fine him, is based on the fact that Deshaun Watson and his agent and the Cleveland Browns structured his contract so that he only makes $1 million this year. The design of that was almost entirely to avoid knowing that he would be suspended to some length and to avoid paying a lot of money in terms of his game check. So I would guess that if we did the math and you chop up this year and next year's salary and then prorated over, like, you know, they're just trying to, find, and they'll probably find the Browns too. I mean, they already did. But they don't want Deshaun Watson to get away with just losing X percent of $1 million or just $1 million because they circumvented, you know, a normal contract structure. It's not surprising at all.
Right. And real quick on that is we've seen a lot of Browns fans push back. Well, that's how the Browns do all of their contracts. But Deshaun Watson literally has a clause in his contract that says his guarantees cannot be voided if he's found to be responsible for any of these sexual assaults. I guarantee you there is no other Browns player that has a clause in their contract that says they can keep their guarantees if they are found guilty of any sort of sexual assault. So
probably not a player in the NFL. It's
like, right. Yeah. So that alone makes this a different contract and proves that the Browns and Watson were trying to skirt him playing any huge fines.
On the settlement talks with the 12 games, could the NFL then say, here's what we, you know, here's the thing. If you've ever, you don't even have to be involved in a lawsuit. If you've ever like made a trade or bartered with somebody with something and you come to the table and offer what you think is a fair, like middle of the road offer relative to what you think should happen and what the other party thinks should happen, and you get just flat out rejected, and then suddenly through whatever circumstance that occur, you have all the control over the situation. Do you know what you're not going to do, Breach? You're not going to give that middle of the road offer back. You're going to take it like you take it as a personal affront that your offer is rejected, and you're going to hammer the person. And that's why I think it's a no-brainer that Goodell's designee, and that doesn't matter who it is, can be Godger Rodell. I mean, like, you know, just a Roger Dell with a mustache. You roll out Troy Vincent. I mean, I don't know, get Jeff Pash in there. It doesn't matter. Like, whoever it is going to be rolling with, is going to be operating under Goodell's orders. They are going to probably go for a full year suspension for Deshaun Watson. And that's, you can just expect that to happen. And I would guess a full year suspension and $12 million, $12 million fine, something like that. Josh Dooley in the chat asked, the PA can will sue in federal court, tie it up longer than he could start playing the year, and suspension could come mid year. Yes, in theory, that could happen. Here is the problem, though. The third party arbiter has already issued the 6-game suspension. So, and the PA has agreed to not appeal that. So no matter what, Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended 6 games at the bare minimum. Like trying to get an injunction would only theoretically, the court could operate differently and say, you need the injunction now. I would guess they would not grant an injunction until after six weeks had passed.
And real quick, because if you compare it to the Tom Brady case, the argument there is that because the NFLPA, Tom Brady, they never accepted the 4-game Deflategate suspension. His legal team said Brady will suffer irreparable harm if he misses 4 games, because that's literally 25% of the season. The flip side here is that Watson and NFLPA have accepted the 6-game suspension. So as Brinson said, they really don't have any legs to stand on until you get to week 7.
Correct. So, and look, federal courts are not eager to grant injunctions to, and look, I know that to professional athletes, a particular professional athlete with this sort of, like, you know, you've settled these cases, the third party arbiter has said, you know, the arbitrator has said, this is, you know, like, you look like you read Judge Sue Robinson's ruling. If a federal court, like, that's going to be part of whatever is sent to the federal court on the initial proceedings. And when the court reads that, they're going to be like, look, I mean, we're not giving you an injunction to, like, you can't be irreparably harmed by missing games, bro. Like, you've got a 6-game suspension, and you've, any damage to your reputation has already been done. So I think it would be pretty surprising if they got the injunction to start the season. That's just my thought on that. Additionally.
Well, the flip side also is, if you're Deshaun Watson, do you want to delay the suspension? Because if you know the suspension is going to happen at some point, and let's say you play a few games this year and then your suspension gets pushed into next year where you're making, your base salary is $46 million, then you're losing out on a crap ton of money. So I think if you're Watson and you know a suspension's coming, that eventually you want it to happen this year, and you eventually just accept it because there's no way out of it at this point.
And like the Tom Brady thing is totally different too, because you're talking about, like, you know, this is a personal conduct policy situation. Tom Brady's thing is like an on-field
integrity of the game.
And it's like, you know, there was just a matter, like, it was anyway, like the deflating, the, like, the, we're talking, we're apples and oranges here. But Deshaun Watson's base salary next year is $46 million. He also has, he already got a signing bonus, but it's prorated over top of that. So $46 million divided by 17.
18, I think. Because they get a paper check, and they're by a week.
That's $2.555555 million per week. So if he were to get an injunction, and let's say he suspended six games, gets an injunction, plays seven games, or whatever, plays the rest of the season, I guess. I mean, that's probably what would happen if they gave an injunction. Let's say he plays 11 games. So then the NFL rolls his suspension over 11 games into the following season. And frankly, at that point, the NFL may just suspend him the entirety of 2023. And then you lose $46 million. Like, I think if I'm Watson, I am probably taking the L.
Well, the thing is, if he gets suspended for an entire season, I don't know that he actually loses the money. I think, like, doesn't his contract just toll and the Browns have him for another year?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That
actually makes more sense.
65% sure on that. I'm not like, that's, I think.
I don't know the answer to that. And
I closed my tab. We have Joel Corey on every podcast, so he can answer questions like that.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, that would be the 11 games would be $28 million. Like,
right.
You're just, I guess I can open up my copy of the CBA again. Why don't you talk about something, Breach, while I look for.
Well, and 11 games, if you take that suspension this year, is about 600,000. So a little over 600,000. So you're talking about, ooh, do I want to miss out on $28 million or $600,000? And I think that that's a pretty easy decision for most people. So yeah, if I'm Deshaun Watson, and I know I have to take a suspension and things are not looking good for me, I am just trying to get over with as quickly as possible. I don't want to fight this. NFL players do not have a good track record of beating the NFL in federal court. We saw Tom Brady try to do it. And even though he got handed his suspension in 2015 and he was able to push it off for a year, he did eventually serve it those four games in 2016. We saw Zeke Elliott try to get it pushed off. He was fighting and fighting. He played at the beginning of the season. And then in November of that year where he was supposed to serve his suspension, he just said he gave up. He knew the ultimate path was him missing games. And that's what it is. You can push it off. Maybe you push it off for a year, but it's eventually going to happen. We saw Adrian Peterson, same thing. So yes, you can fight the NFL, and you can try to delay the inevitable, but it will not happen. You will eventually lose. And it's because, blame your own players association, they agreed to the collective bargaining agreement, and that collective bargaining agreement says that Roger Goodell or the person he designates has the final say over the appeal, and that's all the judge is going to see. Look, you gave Roger Goodell that power. He's using that power. What do you want me to do? My hands are tied. He gave you the 4-year suspension. Good night and good luck, sir. That is basically what's going to happen.
I don't so it's so hard to, like, quickly read through the CBA. I don't see it
exactly. Impossible.
I'm pretty sure that, I mean, if you're suspended for something you do on the field, you don't get paid for those games. I think you lose the money. That's why they're fining him. Like right. if he didn't lose the money, the Browns wouldn't have structured a contract that way. You know, if it just told, the Browns wouldn't have done it
Well, the Browns only thought he was going to be suspended for 6 to 8 games. They didn't think he was going to be suspended for an entire year.
Yeah, but I mean, like, your like a full year suspension doesn't toll your contract, I don't think. I don't know. That could be like Calvin. Like, do you think Calvin Ridley's
definitely told. I do know that. And I just dropped a tweet in there to show you that one. So But it's so if Watson serves some of the suspension this year, not all of it, say just five games, like you said,
just because it's a year long suspension.
Right. So because they never played that year. So it's like they never fulfilled any obligation of their contract. I know. There's 400 pages in CBA, Brinson. If we sat here and read through them all right now, it would take four.
Let's see. Oh, God. So I get out of my freaking. Oh, I almost said a cuss word.
Yes. As Brinson and I just said, Calvin Ridley's contract definitely tolls.
Stop. So, before you go away.
So he is under contract with the Falcons for 2023. But that was also, I believe, a 1 year deal. Yeah, there you go, Brinson.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. Anyway,
we'll have a whole show on it.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, but I would. Yeah. Anyway, the NFL. Okay, I'm derailed. That's the Deshaun Watson situation. That's where we stand. I would think that it will be next week. So here's the other thing too. And Sully and I talked about this a little bit. If Roger Goodell's appointee is, designee is going to hammer Watson, like the NFL considers this good news. You know what I mean? Like they're like, ha, look at us. We are standing up for bad guy, standing up against bad guy. And so I think that the news will actually come out earlier in the week and will not be like a Friday 4 p.m. news dump.
Just when they announce the appeal decision?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it'll be done by tomorrow.
Well, no, it won't be done by tomorrow because
you have to file your actual like documents.
Well, Watson's side has until Friday to respond to the appeal. So the NFL
has put in its appeal, like its physical appeal.
Right. And then Watson's camp gets 2 days. So the NFL filed appeal on Wednesday. Watson's camp gets on Friday.
That's why they did it on Wednesday instead of waiting until Thursday.
Because if they did it Thursday, then Watson's camp would have had through the weekend.
Monday, yes, you do it Wednesday, then you have to get it in by Friday.
And you expedite the process here. And then I would think we would see a decision by the end of next week.
Yeah. So you're probably having the I don't know if there's an actual hearing. Maybe there probably is a hearing. You go, you file your documents, you go and have the hearing and on, let's say, Monday. And then Wednesday or Thursday, maybe we get the ruling. But they will not want it to be something that bleeds into the weekend. Trust me, the NFL, I mean, it could be Friday at 4:30 just because sometimes that's how the timing works, but the NFL would prefer this news to come out.
And maybe even, I mean, we saw them file the appeal on Wednesday this week because the thought is that they didn't want to overshadow the Hall of Fame game.
Correct.
Or the Hall of Fame ceremonies. And so if they have the same thought process next week, maybe they release decision on Wednesday again because you have preseason games on Thursday. Good the point. Browns play on Friday, and I think you definitely want to have the decision in before the Browns hit the field. So
absolutely. Unquestionably. All right. So that's sort of where we're at with Deshaun Watson. We'll clearly have much more coming down the pipe in terms of that as we await news on the Deshaun Watson front. You know, he almost played for two teams in the NFC South breach. He didn't.
What? No.
Yeah, almost.
Is this a segue?
It was a segue into a break, which we're going to take now and then come back and talk about the NFC South next.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, the NFC South, burning questions. And if I were NFC South, burning questions. I'm trying to see who wrote the article.
I'm guessing. I believe it was Jared.
I think you're wrong. I think it was our old friend
Patrick Walker.
Patrick Walker.
There you go. Yeah, that's 2021. You just linked us, Breach.
What?
Yeah. That's last.
No. Oh my God. Good thing you're in charge of this and not me.
So Patrick Walker wrote this, and we start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, fun for us. He actually only did one question for each team.
Patrick Walker of DallasCowboys.com.
That's right. Yeah, our old buddy moved on to DallasCowboys.com.
That's also not true, Brinson. Did three questions per team.
Okay.
You see three?
No, I'm seeing one. This is from... Give me a link. We're really doing a great job here.
Falling apart. We're falling apart.
Absolutely melting down.
We need Wilson.
I know. We need to. Okay, I'm only seeing one on each of the story, but whatever. I see the multiple on the I see those, Debo, that you're currently grabbing from the sheet. I see those. I'm just saying the article I clicked on only had one. Anyway, the number one question for the Bucs: can Tom Brady do it again? What is it? What is it?
I'm guessing it is win the Super Bowl.
Ah, I was thinking film a commercial.
I mean, that can he
marry a supermodel? Because he's done it twice.
Two supermodels is a lot of supermodels.
He didn't marry Bridget Moynihan.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. I think it probably means can he win a Super Bowl again? And the answer is yes. Although I would say I'm a lot less convinced that Tom Brady is going to win the Super Bowl today in early August than I was a month ago. And it mostly involves Ryan Jensen getting hurt and sort of looking like the receivers, like Chris Godwin, maybe not being ready to start the season. I know they added Julio Jones, but the offensive line issues are like he has had an outstanding offensive line the entire time he's been in Tampa Bay. And now it's possible that it's almost factually true that he's going to have his worst offensive line that he's had since he got to Tampa Bay. So
yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most underrated storylines of the offseason before the Ryan Jensen injury was that Brady lost both his starting guards. Alex Kappa ditched Tom Brady and went to Cincinnati. And then obviously Ali Marpet retired. So you're already out two starting guards. You throw in Ryan Jensen. You throw in what you just mentioned with the Chris Godwin injury. Gronk retired. And Ndamukong Suh is gone. Him and his six sacks on that defensive front, gone. There are just a lot of question marks here, and I don't think this Buccaneers team is as good as they were last year. I mean, lucky for them, they're in such a bad division. I think they'll get to the playoffs, but I don't think, and it's, you know, the other part of this is because of all this Tom Brady tampering controversy is that if the Buccaneers struggle out of the gate, things could get a little dicey in that locker room, maybe. Because think about it. You had Brady talk Leonard Fournette into coming back, correct? Who else? He talked Ryan Jensen into coming back.
Yep.
If those guys knew that Tom Brady was trying to jump ship in December to go to Miami, do you think they would have listened to anything he said? Like, man, how can I take you seriously? You were trying to leave the team. Why can't I leave the team? And so
he got Chris, they franchise tag Chris Godwin, but then like, you know, Brady definitely was talking to him like, hey, bro, like,
right, sign the long-term contract. So
they might think like, man, this guy's going to bounce after this year and like go play for the Dolphins.
And I'm going to throw out that Wilson has been just his favorite storyline this year is the Buccaneers are going to fall off a cliff. They aren't going to make the playoffs and that they're going to be lucky to win 9 games. And you look at those first 4 games, it's at Cowboys, it at Saints. Brady has never beaten the Saints in the regular season as a Buccaneer. And then they play the Packers and the Chiefs. So you have possibly 0-4. I would say 2-2 is their best case. Maybe 3-1. But 2-2 feels like probable here. And, you know, what happens if this Buccaneers team slips out of the gate?
Yeah, that's a good point. You start getting maybe get some injuries. You start 1-3. People are wondering, is Tom committed to the season? Because Sully was on here pointing out that, you know, Tom Brady was talking to the Dolphins as early as 2019. And that he felt like it showed up in his 2019 play. Like there was, you know, there's buzz like later that maybe like Brady's not committed to the Patriots. And so, you know, final year of his deal, just like it is in Tampa, will he be focused? You know, he sort of said too several times that the Bucs kind of forced his hand into coming out of retirement because they gave this artificial deadline about free agency. We're going to pursue other quarterbacks. So yeah, I mean, I think it's my gigantic Bucs future to win the NFC South. I still feel good about, but I'm a little more nervous about than I was a month ago.
We're going to have to jump on the Wilson bandwagon and anti Buccaneers bandwagon.
Well, I have the Bucs at like +110 to win the division. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. Cause it was when Brady retired for like 30 minutes. Okay. Question number two from our pal Patrick Walker. Will Todd Bowles rebuild his brand as an NFL head coach? Obviously, you do have a new coach in place. Bruce Arians out, coincidentally or not, after Tom Brady unretires. Todd Bowles is given the reins. The former Jets coach got the job over Byron Leftwich. I was supposed to say Byron Nelson. Byron Leftwich and you know, look, Todd Bowles has experiences as a head coach, so it wasn't entirely surprising. I think the answer is yes to this. Just because Todd Bowles, to me, and like I know like lots of Jets fans who disagree with this, and lots of like Nick Costas always tells me I'm crazy for thinking this. I thought Todd Bowles was okay with the Jets and just really was dealing with, you know, just horrific management. Mike Maccagnan was his guy, I believe. And I mean, it was just horrendous draft choices under Mike Maccagnan. And it was the Jets. Like nobody who, I mean, Rex Ryan was the last guy to have any success at all with the Jets. And he's still flamed out. Like you just don't win there and you shouldn't take the Jets job. Just like you shouldn't take the Browns job or frankly, the Raiders job sometimes. It's hard to win. And I think Bowles will have a lot more success in this first season with Tom Brady. Yes, he could start slow, and yes, it could all fall apart as Wilson thinks. But to me, Bowles is a good enough head coach to make this work in this division where even if you go 12-5, you're probably winning the division.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is what we were just talking about, where if they're bad this year, guess who's getting blamed? Todd Bowles. And so to come back and have that happen would be horrible for his brand as a head coach, and there's a lot of pressure. I mean, if the Buccaneers win just 10 games this year, I think that their season would be viewed as a failure. If they
10-7 season would be a really bad season for the Bucs.
Right, 10-7, and they don't advance in the playoffs. So I think it's going to be tough for him. This is not an easy situation to be in, and I don't think you can really help your brand. If Tom Brady's your quarterback, you don't really help yourself unless your team ends up winning the Super Bowl, and I don't think this team is good enough to win the Super Bowl. So
12 or 13 wins and he's getting it.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think they're going to do that either. So I don't think that he's going to help or hurt. I think it's just going to be, he had Tom Brady. He did what he was supposed to do. They went 11-6 and they made it to the divisional round. And then after that, you know, Brady's probably, he's got one foot out the door. He's not going to be back in 2023, almost certainly. And then Bowles is stuck with who? Kyle Trask, Blaine Gabbert. Then that's when we see how good of a coach Todd Bowles.
Yeah, I know. It's like you great. You get Brady for 1 year. That's great, but a little dicey. Question number three for the Bucs. Will Rob Gronkowski go back on his word? Gronk has denied that he will return, even if Tom Brady calls him. Vegas knows Tom was trying to go to Miami, but Gronk's lovely lady friend, Camila Kostek. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Okay,
sure. Camille Kostek, I think.
Camille Kostek. Oh, okay. All right, I was close. And his very famous agent, Drew Rosenhaus, have both said that, they both implied that Gronk's going to come back and play. And so that leads me to believe that Gronk is cool with playing, but doesn't want to deal with the ramp up to the season and doesn't want to play a full season because he's old and his body hurts, especially right now. And he likes to party in the off season and doesn't want to deal with training camp. But those, both those parties want him to make money. And when your agent and your girlfriend both are like adamant that you should play and you, and Tom Brady's like the guy you're going to play for, you're probably going to play at some point. So my guess is, yes, he will go back on his word and play. I'll say over under 8.5 games and I'll take the over.
I will also take the over. And yeah, I think Camille Kostek saying it means more than Rosenhaus, just because Rosenhaus said at the very beginning of the retirement, Kostek said it a month into it. And if, you know, if Gronk has one confidant, it's his girlfriend. And if she's out here saying, yeah, I think he's going to return, him and Tom Brady were just playing silly games with all this fake retirement stuff. Yeah, I think Gronk comes back and you're over under. I like it. I think he plays at least 10 games. I mean, who knows? Maybe six this retirement. He's been pretty adamant about it. But
yeah, and let's be clear, too. If the Bucs are playing poorly.
Right, right.
Then Rob Gronkowski's not coming back out to, like, get, like, beat up for a, you know, 6-11 team or whatever.
Right, right.
Wilson thinks they're going to go. 9-8, maybe. Is that like, what does Wilson think they're going to do? Like, 5-9-8.
9-8, so ish.
9-8's a bad season for any a Tom Brady team.
Yeah, absolutely.
The New Orleans Saints. The number one question from Patrick Walker, can Jameis Winston deliver? Like, can he be a Jimmy Johns guy or, you know, I love Jimmy Johns, by the way. You like Jimmy Johns preach?
You know, I'm not a big sub person. I don't mind Jimmy Johns, but
I'm a beach club guy.
Just there's too much bread.
There's a lot of bread.
You can get the flat bread now, which is a little bit better, but it's too much bread.
You don't like bread?
I mean, bread's okay. I like bread in limited quantities.
Interesting.
I like waffles. Waffles are bread, right?
Yeah, waffles are indeed bread.
Love waffles. I will just eat waffles for every meal.
Thick bread. Lots of bread and waffles. Would you eat a waffle sandwich?
Oh, I love a waffle sandwich. Like, I will make those.
Hot honey chicken. That's
my breakfast sandwich, man. Put the eggs in there.
Yeah.
You know, last night for dessert, I had a protein waffle with a small scoop of ice cream on it. That was just, waffles are everything to me.
All right.
I should be a spokesman. If Eggo, anyone from Eggo's listening, sponsor the podcast or call me. I'll wear an Eggo shirt. Love the waffles. Love
clip,
all waffles.
Clip and save that. waffles are everything to me. John Breach. Anyway, look, I think it depends on who you've got on the podcast, like who you're talking to about this, because Wilson is adamant that Jameis Winston had the best season of his career and he was incredible for the Saints last year. And I'm like, he's fine. He had a lot of touchdowns, but they're like, it was like all concentrating that weird week one game where he threw like five, he had like a 98 passing yards and five touchdowns. I think that Jameis can be good for the Saints, but with no Sean Payton there, I know Pete Carmichael's been working with Sean Payton for a long time, but you're still taking away one of the best offensive minds in really the history of professional football in Sean Payton, a guy who is one of the best play callers in the NFL, or was until he walked away. And I am hesitant to suggest that Jameis Winston is going to step in off an ACL and just magically be this efficient quarterback that everybody wants him to be without Sean Payton there to really put the reins on him. So I'll say, I don't think so. I don't think Jameis is going to do what people think he's going to do.
Yeah, I think you're right that maybe Jameis is being a little overhyped because of we saw a small sample size. It was with Sean Payton, and you know, he was highly efficient. You mentioned the five touchdown passes. That was on 14 completions. So literally five of his 14 completions were touchdowns. But, you know, he only threw for 148 yards. He wasn't asked to do very much. And I think that is going to be the difference. Look, we don't even know if Alvin Kamara is going to be on the field in week one. He's still dealing with this Las Vegas court case where he literally got arrested after the Pro Bowl, you know, because he had that warrant out for his arrest. And if Kamara's not out there, we don't know about the health of Michael Thomas. We'll talk about that in a second. And so Jameis Winston is missing a lot of offensive help, and Kamara's just such a big weapon. Yeah, I'm tending to agree with you, Brenton. I do not think Winston's going to have a huge year.
I mean, he completed 59% of his passes in those seven games. He threw 14 touchdowns and just three interceptions. The three interceptions is great, but like nine of the touchdowns came in two games, five against Green Bay in that 38-3 win where like he just didn't hit 148 passing yards, 14 to 20. Like he didn't even need to be throwing like three of those touchdown passes. And then the other four came against Washington on the road, you know, 15 to 30 completion percentage, four touchdowns and a pick. You know, I think anyone suggesting that Jameis was like awesome to start the season is reaching there. So I'm not very high on Jameis Winston this year. Look, I think he's better than Taysom Hill. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just not very high on this season. Is Michael Thomas?
Is he better than Andy Dalton?
I would take him over Andy Dalton, but
because Andy Dalton's the backup quarterback there.
Is Michael Thomas still a force to be reckoned with?
I'm going to say no. I just like he had this ankle injury, these leg injuries, and his health is just completely taken a nosedive. We have not seen him on the field in an NFL game since mid-2020. And so you don't know how good he is. He doesn't have Drew Brees. I mean, he was Drew Brees' security blanket out there, and I just don't know that you can take that much time off as a receiver, come back to a quarterback who's not as good as the one you had and still be as good. So I think he'll still be productive, but I do not think he is still, you know, a top five receiver like he was in 2019.
Yeah. And again, like part of that is Jameis Winston. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Drew Brees was the master of like hammering Michael Thomas with those slants. I don't think he's going to be nearly as productive with Winston under center. You also have the addition of Chris Olave. Jarvis Landry is there. And so, you know, it's going to take away from him. I would be very surprised if he is the same guy that he was, like you say, Breach, when at the height of his powers when he got that huge contract. So my answer to this would be no, although I still think he can be a very viable wide receiver. You know, I'm probably going to get torched by him in fantasy because I'm just not going to draft him. If his ADP keeps going up, but you know what can you do? Can Dennis Allen get off to a hot start in the post Sean Payton era? Question number three from Patrick Walker.
I mean that is not going to be easy.
Do we think he's saying like for the year or for like can he get off to like a 12-5 start, or is he saying can he get off to a
if we're looking at the whole entire season, I don't know. But if we're talking about maybe the first 6 weeks, it's plausible. I mean, they play the Falcons, they play the Panthers, they play the Seahawks. Those are three very, very winnable games. And then if you pull an upset and one of the other three with the Vikings, Buccaneers, and Bengals, then you're 4-2. So maybe they get off to a hot start to start the season. But I don't know that he's going to be able to get off a hot start and continue what Peyton's been doing by winning 10, 11, or 12, or even 13 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a viable schedule. Like, it, you know, especially if Deshaun Watson's gone for the whole year, they're at the Browns on Christmas Eve. You know, you have the Panthers twice. You feel like you should win both of those. The Falcons twice. You feel like you should win both of those. Although I don't think it's guaranteed that they win both, right? I mean, Sean Payton and Jameis Winston went to Carolina and lost to Sam Darnold and Matt Rhule last year.
I mean, they have an 8-game stretch starting with the Bengals, I think, in
it's a hard stretch.
Week 6, where I don't think – standing where we are right now, I don't think I would pick the Saints to win a single one of those games.
Bengals at home, at the Cardinals, Raiders at home, Ravens at home, at Steelers, Rams at home, at 49ers, at Buccaneers.
That's brutal.
That's like where you go 2-6 and your season falls apart.
Right.
But before that, yeah, I mean, look, you get the Falcons, Bucks, Tom Brady's never beaten the Saints, Panthers, Vikings at home, Seahawks at home. I'll answer it this way. Dennis Allen needs to get off to a hot start.
Yeah.
Like if you start out 2-3 and then you have that stretch that we're talking about, you could very well be 4-9 and you've given up your first round pick for next year in order to get another first this year to try and shore up your tackle position. Now look, maybe I'm wrong and Sean Payton doesn't matter as much as people don't seem to think Sean Payton matters. I think Sean Payton matters a lot. And I think we'll find out fairly quickly. All right. Carolina Panthers. Was this article written before Baker Mayfield was traded? Afterwards. Is Baker Mayfield the week one starter? Easy one for me. Yes.
Yes.
Moving on.
I mean,
if Baker Mayfield loses the battle to Sam Darnold, it means the Panthers are in deep, deep doo-doo.
And then also, you don't trade. If you like Sam Darnold and you're the Panthers coaching staff, you don't make a trade for Baker Mayfield. So you don't acquire another quarterback.
For Baker so he can sit behind Sam Darnold, who you already traded for. So, yes. Is Baker Mayfield the answer for the future?
Maybe. I'll say on this is that I feel like the worst case scenario for the Panthers is if they win between 7 and 9 games with Baker Mayfield, because you have to decide if you're going to keep him. And
probably what they're going to do, by the way, it's like
7. But like, if you win just 7 games, obviously that's not great, but it's a 2-game improvement over what you had last year. But how much money are you going to give Baker Mayfield? You hit him with a franchise tag. You don't want to reward him with a $40 million a year contract when he only won you 7 games.
Right.
And so I think that makes things dicey. If he wins 3 or 4 games and it's like, all right, we're moving on, we'll find someone else next year.
Does Baker Mayfield even want to stay in Carolina?
Right. And then if they won 10 or more games, then you say, name your number, Baker. We'll give you whatever you want. So I think it just definitely depends on how they do this year.
If they make the playoffs, then he's getting franchise tagged. Or they work on a contract extension mid-year, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Baker would be interested in that if he gets to Carolina and enjoys it. It's also possible he gets to Carolina, he's like, what a disaster this place is. I'm out. And, you know, go and replace Tom Brady in Tampa. You know, go and replace Tua in Miami, or, you know, whatever you want to do. There's going to be options out there. Go, you know,
right.
Maybe the Lions want him. Who knows? Anyway. Can Matt Rhule climb off the hot seat? Yes. If they win 9 games. I mean, I was, did the 7 games get Matt Rhule fired? 7 to 9 get Matt Rhule fired?
I think no.
No. I think
if they win 7, I think he keeps his job. Because if you're Tepper, what you want to see is that the team's improving. And if he's won 5 games in 3 straight seasons, I think if he wins 5 again, that gets him fired. Like, Tepper's gonna be like, we're not a 5-win team, and that's all you've been doing. Or the Panthers have won 5 games, 3 straight seasons. 2 of those have been with Rhule. And so I think 5 gets him done. 6 is dicey. I think 7, he keeps his job.
Okay. I think 7 and 9 is going to be,
but
it depends on how the 7 and 9 is too. Like a 7 and 9 where you lose some close games and Baker looks good, and
7 and 10, Brenton.
7 and 10, Godzilla. Damn, 17 games. It's going to take another 10 years for me to get it right. 20 like constantly.
Let me ask you this: Browns Panthers Week 1, who wins if Deshaun Watson's not playing?
First of all, he's not going to be playing.
Okay.
And second of all, the Panthers are going to win.
Okay. Panthers, Giants, Week 2. Panthers. Who's your pick right now?
Panthers.
Panthers, Saints in Charlotte, Week 3.
Panthers, 3-0 Panthers.
3-0.
They started Panthers, 3-0 last year, Breach.
Cardinals in Charlotte, Eastern time zone, 10 a.m. start without DeAndre Hopkins. Panthers, 4-0, Cardinals wins.
4-0 Carolina Panthers.
It's not that implausible. It's crazy.
They started 3-0 last year and finished 5-12.
That's true. And that kind of start, I think, would get Rhule fired if that happens again.
Right. That's true too. Like a 7-10 where you start 4-0 is so much worse than a 7-10 where you start 1-10.
Right.
Because you win 6 games to close out the season. You're like, all right, you know, like Baker's playing great. Like we bring it back, we keep this thing rolling. Like we got something cooking here, guys. And then, So, right. All right, moving along to the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons?
Number one question for the Falcons, can they be competitive in 2022?
If they were in any other division, I would say no, but the NFC South is just so, it's not bad, it's just mediocre. And so I feel like they could sneak a few wins. I don't know what competitive is. Is 5 wins competitive? I think they can maybe win 5 games.
I don't think 5 games is competitive.
Okay, then no, I don't think they can be.
I mean, I don't believe that they can be competitive in 2022. I don't see how. I mean, I always try to. I mean, and look, I don't I like what the Falcons did this offseason in terms of, you know, Drake London. I thought Desmond Ridder in the third round was a nice pickup. You know, they added some defensive depth in the second round. Arnold Ebikidi is a nice nice value pick there too in the second round. I just think the problem for the Falcons is when they hired Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, they were trying, and they said this. They said, like Terry Fontenot said this, that they were not going to rebuild. They were not, they were trying to retool on the fly. And I think it would have been, and look, it worked out how it worked out. The worst possible thing for them would have been if they traded for Watson.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're giving up tons of draft picks that are high in the draft and Watson's suspended for a year and you've brought great shame to your organization, et cetera, et cetera. I think that moving on from Matt Ryan and just taking the L on the salary cap hit and whatever it is now is the smartest thing for the Falcons. If Arthur Blank is going to be patient with Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith in this rebuild, and there's nothing to, you know, I mean, there's nothing to suggest he won't be. You know, you're in year two. I just look, they got Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder at the quarterback position. And Marcus Mariota has been named the starter. Could he have a renaissance in Atlanta? Possibly, but he wasn't great under Arthur Smith in Tennessee. That's why they had to bring in Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, I don't think you have an elite offensive line by any stretch of the imagination. You have Kyle Pitts and Drake London. So you have the start of something good in terms of receivers. I mean, AJ Terrell and Grady Jarrett, great players on the defensive side of the ball. They've got, you know, some higher caliber, you know, they have some players on that. Like they, I cannot envision a scenario where they win the NFC South. Just can't.
Yeah. That, and they're the one team where you can't envision them winning. Like, I don't think the Panthers really have a chance, but there's at least like the small sliver. You could be like, yeah, all right. I could see it being a total shocker and maybe happen. But no, it doesn't feel like the Falcons have any shots. So no, we agree on this. I think
they'll steal some games for sure. But I just cannot see them like being a playoff team. And look, been wrong a lot. Wrong a lot every year, every week. I just can't see them being a playoff team. Will Marcus Mariota finally establish himself as an NFL starter? I mean, I think the over-under for – what's the over-under for Desmond Ridder starts this year? I say it's like 8.5.
Yeah, I don't think – they just don't have a good enough team. There's not enough talent around him. He struggled with – I just don't think that Mariota – this is going to be a year where at the end of the 2022 season, people are going to saying, oh, that's a franchise quarterback, and – he's going to have a hot free agency and people are going to be out to get him. Kyle Pitts every play.
Well, you got Drake London too. Yeah. They opened up with the Saints at home, at the Rams, at the Seahawks. So your 2 week probably road trip out there. Browns at home, at Buccaneers, 49ers at home, at the Bengals. Like, what's their record after those seven games?
2-5 at best.
Yeah. And so it's like at that point, if you're 2-5 or 1-6 or 0-7, and I don't think they'll be 0-7, but I don't think they'll be 3-4 or 4-3. At that point, aren't you going to Desmond Ridder to see what he's got? Like, you're not going to just definitely give an entire season to Marcus Mariota just because he's, you know, your veteran.
Right. That's it. I mean, you give Desmond Ridder a chance to sit down, learn, watch the game, and then once you feel like, all right, Marcus Mariota is not doing anything for us anymore, let's put the rookie in there.
Oh my god, their bye isn't until like good lord, their bye is like,
I think they have the last bye.
It's the middle of December.
That's insane.
Yeah, which is, that's tough. Yeah,
that's one of those where you looking to see, hey, maybe they go to Desmond or after the bye. Yeah. They're not waiting that long.
Like, where's this thing? Good god, they have 4 games after their bye in a 17 game season. That is crazy, man.
Yeah, that's not ideal unless you're a playoff contender.
All right, finally, can Drake London instantly replace Calvin Ridley? Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I feel like London is talented enough, and it's not like Ridley was Hoyo Jones in his prime. And also, you know, you have Kyle Pitts there at tight end. He's going to take some pressure off the receiving core because teams have to account for him. So I could see Drake London having a big year.
I don't think Drake London can replace 2020 Calvin Ridley, who had 90 catches for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. Man, he had 10 touchdowns as a rookie, 7 touchdowns in the second year, just 800 yards in both and 60 some catches in both. I think those first 2 years is replaceable. Maybe not the touchdown part, but I think Drake London can catch 70 passes for 800 or 900 yards. And at the very least, you know, provide a second legitimate weapon alongside Kyle Pitts that doesn't let defenses just completely zero in on the tight end. So there we go. All right. That's the NFC South.
So imagine how this offseason would have been different if Watson had gone to the Falcons or the Panthers. It's insane. Or the Saints or whoever. All the NFC South teams wanted them.
I know. The entire landscape of the NFL would be completely different. If you're the Falcons, you cannot believe how lucky you. Even you're bummed you lost Matt Ryan because you wanted to play for the franchise for his entire career. But I mean, you're pretty glad you didn't get Deshaun Watson.
This would have set their franchise back 5 years.
It would have devastated the franchise. All right. We'll be back tomorrow for a mailbag. Or Monday for a mailbag if you're listening.
Mailbag.
Yeah, good call. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.